Hey, TV fans and fans of TV podcasts. Welcome to another episode of the TV Insider Podcast. We all hope everyone is doing their best and staying safe and healthy while we weather the COVID-19 crisis. And if you're a lot like us at TV Insider, your TV viewing has probably been a source of not only information, but also a whole lot of comfort. I'm Jim Halterman, West Coast Bureau Chief of TV Guide Magazine. And in this episode, we're going to dig into one of the newest additions to shows that are a perfect escape and just make us feel good while also giving us a healthy dose of competition. I'm talking about the new Amazon unscripted series, Making the Cut. If you've been missing Tim Gunn and Heidi Klum, who moved on from Project Runway in 2018 after 16 seasons, then this competition design show is for you because they're the faces of the show. And as Tim Gunn himself told me last week during a Zoom interview, he and Heidi knew they didn't want to just do the same show somewhere else. And along with former Project Runway executive producers, Sarah Rea, they began Making the Cut as more than just a quest for the next big designer, since the show is also looking at the bigger picture with a designer's brand and the business side of fashion. And as you can probably guess, Tim Gunn is one of those people that's exactly who you think he'd be, incredibly gracious, humble, smart, and fun, as you'll hear in this interview. So let's dive into my chat with Tim to find out more about Making the Cut, which has already dropped 4 episodes on Amazon Prime. Hey guys, so I'm here with Tim Gunn, who Making the Cut has just been on a few weeks. I'm very excited, Tim, to talk to you about it because I've seen 5 episodes now, so I'm very excited.
Oh, Jim, you've seen half the season. That's great.
I know. I'm excited. And just so you know, the podcast will go up right before the 5th episode airs, so I'll probably ask you some questions about that.
Not if I can remember it.
I'll refresh your memory because I just watched it this morning.
Good.
But tell me, just starting this project, when did it start for you and kind of you and Heidi doing this next project after, you know, you left the other show?
Well, that was the exact moment when it did happen, when we decided that after 16 seasons and now having Project Runway move to a different network, we just thought, okay, this is an opportunity. We've had a vision about the changes we wanted to make in Runway that no one would really listen to because if it ain't broke, why fix it? And we started chopping the show, quite frankly, right at that juncture, and didn't know who would be interested or if anyone would be interested. But when we had our conversation with Jennifer Salke and her Prime Video team at Amazon, it blew our minds, to be perfectly honest. Not only did they understand what we wanted to do, but they were fully invested collaborators. In fact, the final form of Making the Cut is truly a collaboration among Heidi, me, our showrunner from Runway, whose production company is doing Making the Cut, the three of us and Amazon. It's been just a beautiful experience.
And obviously, now that I've seen the show, and I was also a Project Runway fan, I can see the differences in how this isn't the same show in a lot of ways. What was important for you and Heidi and the producers to make sure that this wasn't just a revamp of what you'd already done, that you wanted fresh and for yourself, I'm guessing, as well?
Well, we did. And frankly, that's why we wanted Sarah Rea, our former showrunner, with us, because she knew intimately what Project Runway was and knew that that's not what we're doing. As opposed to someone who might think, well, let's give this a Project Runway spin. No. Well, what we wanted, what was at the core of our thinking was, we wanted a new show that is as relevant at this, or at least at the moment when it happened, as relevant as possible to what's happening in the world today. And that meant that it had to go beyond being a pretty dress. It really needed to be a global show in terms of its outlook, and it needed to be about branding. So you've got a great idea as a designer, and you've got you have fabulous work. Then what happens? So to enter into conversations about marketing and visual merchandising and business plans and sourcing and production, the whole rubric of what goes into being a successful brand, that's what we really wanted. And I will add that the shoppable aspect of the show was never in the initial concepts. It evolved during our conversations with Amazon about, well, there's an opportunity here we should certainly consider. But Amazon was committed to the show regardless of that factor, which is really wonderful for people to know, because many people think, oh, it's just because you're on Amazon that you're doing this, or that was the catalyst. No, that came later. But there's another aspect that I think is very palpable in Making the Cut that was certainly absent from Runway, and that is on making the cut, Heidi and I are together almost all the time. And on runway, we have such separate and discrete roles, we're barely in a scene together.
Right. And that's definitely a plus with this show because we get to see a lot of you together, either whether it's just fun bantering or leading the designers through the competitions. It's really fun.
And it was fun for us. We laughed a good deal, and we love those vignettes.
They're really great.
They're a lot of fun.
Let me ask you this. With everything you just told me about the shaping of the show, was that why you went after designers who are already pretty established? They already have lines. Yes. They've already been selling. I mean, these aren't novices.
Yes, that's exactly why. I mean, it's still bridges a fairly diverse range from Sander, who really is a novice, a young man from Belgium, to Esther and Johnny, who have very established brands. And Sabato as well, from Italy. So, yeah, because we needed to be able to engage them in a dialogue and have them be experienced with the content. And one of the things about making the cut that was so different for me was that I actually literally agreed with every decision the designers made, the judges made, rather.
Yeah.
Unlike the other show where it was seldom that I agreed. And I think the real difference is the quality and the depth of the dialogue with the designers, that you learn so much from them and it informs your decision making in a very palpable way. And that's an excellent thing.
Well, and I was surprised that a lot of the designers have different skill sets, not just in their talent and what their aesthetic is, but also the fact that some of them aren't the best sewers. And
yeah,
that really surprised me because I would have guessed, okay, you're a designer, you sew, just like I'm a writer, so I type. can you talk about that element of the show? Like Martha's a good example of somebody who didn't have those skills and it probably hurt her in the long run.
Well, quite frankly, I think Martha's something of an aberration, and at least in how she wanted to be portrayed. I think she was very intimidated by the level of skills that the other designers had, and she knew that hers weren't as strong. And rather than just owning that, she decided to say, I don't know how to sew. Because if we would not have brought a designer on the show who really didn't know how to sew, because it's a considerable handicap. Yes, you're passing work off to seamstresses at night, but what are you doing during the day? And also, if she had only had experience supervising a team or a person who executes her own design work or a vision, why didn't she do a better job of supervising her seamstress? But I also think she's a lovely, dear person. I think she was terribly homesick. She missed her family. When the designers come on the show, they don't know what the experience is going to be like. And I think she just felt very alone and at sea.
Yeah. Okay.
But we are, going back to your question, we are very cognizant of the fact that if you really are running a brand, you don't have time to sew. You just don't. So how capable are you of supervising a team? And some of the designers have more experience with that than others.
Yeah. And what we see as the show plays out, that some people might be a great designer as far as the technical elements of being a designer, but maybe don't know as much about branding or how to do that side of the business. Or did you want to make sure people had a feel for both of those arenas?
Absolutely. Well, there's $1 million at stake and a mentorship with Amazon Fashion, and your line's going to be sold on Amazon. So with that much at stake, you can't have any question marks in the back of your head. You've got to be absolutely confident that this person should win this show.
Okay. I have to say, I love the judges and the panel of judges. It's such a nice eclectic mix.
It is.
How did you guys come up, even putting those people together and that they'd be available and all that, because they're all busy people, but tell me how you brought them together.
Well, it was another case of thinking about diversity among them in terms of their fashion experiences, their backgrounds. Certainly wanting some harmony among them as well. We didn't want a lot of squabbling. And as you cited, the schedule was the real killer.
Yeah.
Because they're giving up their lives basically for 5 weeks, I mean, away from home. And I was especially impressed that Joseph Altuzarra could do it, because he was showing a collection in September. And we're thrilled with the panel. I mean, absolutely ecstatic. But also, not unlike the designers, you don't really know until they're there what the interaction is going to be like.
Sure. It's really fun. I have to say, I don't know whose idea it was, but the fact that we can hear the judges' responses during the runway show, I don't remember that being a part of the original show. Sometimes you'd cut away and see reactions, but the fact that we can actually hear them talking about it, I think really adds a whole different layer to the feedback and what, you know, immediately.
Absolutely.
Yeah, talk about that. That was, I think that's a great element to the show.
That was our Uber executive producer's idea. I mean, she said, let's roll on it. Who knows what's actually going to be used? Because you have hours and hours and hours and hours of tape from many different cameras. But it does lend a really, what am I searching for? It adds some additional insight into the judge's decision-making. As does this more substantive interaction with the designers during the Q&A, because Heidi asked them, she asks after every Q&A, have any of you changed your minds? And occasionally it happens where the designer is very persuasive about why this happened and why they should continue. And there are other cases where they really, really, really want the designer to succeed. You may have seen that in episode 4. And it's a case of why do we, the judges, want you to succeed more than you do? It seems evident that we do. So goodbye.
Yeah. I thought that was also interesting, the fact that you and Heidi have a conversation about that. I think it's maybe at the top of episode 4 where you're like, we need to really jumpstart this because people were seeming very complacent.
And that was not a plan. We had a whole other assignment in mind, but we needed to put a bayonet in everybody's back.
Yeah. But how great from a production standpoint that it was so fluid that you could do that. You couldn't say like, no, we have to stick to the plan because this is what we have planned for this. Instead, you guys could rearrange things and really change up that challenge.
Well, you know, I was saying earlier, it's all Sarah. It is largely Sarah. It's also Chris Costallo, the Prime Video executive who was with us for the trip, who just was so marvelously just open and fluid and just said, look, we'll do what we need to do. And I have to say, too, the crew members who've never worked with us before were saying, I can't believe how unproduced this show is. You really just let them happen. Yeah, we do. We have a huge amount of integrity.
I love it. Talk about the locations where you visit, because I know the first 4 episodes were in Paris, and then episode 5, I don't think it's a spoiler to say we're going to Japan.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, what does that add to the show itself? Not just the visuals of, you know, the great backgrounds and the Eiffel Tower and things, but to the actual competition. Does it change things up for the contestants as well, or the designers?
Oh, most definitely. And also we had our mindset on fashion capitals. And certainly Paris, it's indisputable, as is Tokyo. And thinking globally, that we literally do go around the world. I'll tell you something funny, though. When Heidi and I first met with Amazon, we were actually thinking about having every challenge, every assignment and fashion show in a different country.
Oh my God, you would have been so exhausted.
No, we were exhausted enough, and Amazon said to us, I'll never forget their words, they said, you know, we're really interested in a fashion show that travels rather than a travel show with fashion.
That's really smart of them.
It was very smart, yes.
So what will we see in the Japan episodes, which will start airing after this podcast drops, but what do we see there that might be different than what we've already seen in the Paris episodes?
Well, we're embracing the fashion culture that in Tokyo and Japan writ large. So streetwear is important to us. The whole culture of streetwear in Japan is so unusual.
Yeah.
And has had a trickle down effect on mainstream fashion as well. And we have a lot of great additional great locales. We're working out of the Amazon Fashion Studio in Tokyo, which was a very inspiring environment. And it rains a lot. we were following the weather forecasts for quite a while because we did not want to be there during the rainy season. And the rainy season should have been over 5 weeks before we arrived, but it was stalled. It stayed the entire time we were there.
Wow. Okay. I wanted to ask you, Tim, I remember on Project Runway, there were a couple seasons where you were up with the judges a little more, like you were sitting with them and you were able to weigh in a little bit more once in a while and save people. Do you wish you had more of a voice at that time, like during the judges' deliberations and that, or do you like the fact that you're kind of hanging back? I was always curious about that part of the show when the judges are actually critiquing the designers and really kind of challenging them a little bit on what they're doing.
Well, I like hanging back, and it makes me more of a partner with the designers.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I can't seek any retribution or be even remotely appear to be two-faced about it. Well, you're saying this now. What are you going to say to the judges?
Yeah.
And so I like it, but I've never, this isn't true. On camera, I've never sat through the Q&A between the designers and the judges, at least on the other show, and on Making the Cut, I'm there.
Okay, yeah.
Frequently exchanging eye contact with Heidi.
That's great. I love it. And I don't know if I've ever asked you this, Tim. Do you actually like to watch yourself? Do you watch the shows, and do you like to go back and watch the episodes once they're out, or do you prefer not to really look?
Well, Jim, if you could take me out of the episodes, I'd watch them over and over and over again. But I really don't like looking at myself. But I have to watch because it's my homework.
Right. Okay. let me ask you this, and then you can answer that any way you want. We're still in the first half of the season. We're kind of seeing who some of the front runners are. Should we assume that they'll be the same front runners towards the end, or do we see things kind of shake up a little bit as we move into the episodes deeper?
That's a good question. I feel as though I need to see episode 5 again.
Okay.
I mean, there's some strong designers who stay, and then there's a lot of movement.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was curious about. Yeah. Because each challenge shows different things about each designer that brings different things out, I think. So I can assume that there'll be some change going on as they deepen into the competition.
I agree with you. And I will say this, when we get to the finalists, I was surprised.
Okay. That's a good tease.
Yeah. It would not have been my prediction in the beginning at all.
Okay. I have to say, in the very, I believe it's the first episode, you get pretty emotional just after everybody's kind of assembled and they're working and everything. Did you expect yourself to get pulled into the emotion of the show?
No. In some ways, I'm embarrassed by it, but I can't help myself. It happens at moments when I realize how big this is for the designers.
Yeah.
And it's emotional.
Yeah. Well, I think it's great to see, and I think that's why people have always responded to you, because you bring a passion to what you're doing when you're talking to the designers at whatever show you pass show. Yeah.
It's sincere. It is.
Okay.
Yeah. And this was such a great group. They really were intent upon building a community and helping each other and not squabbling and throwing each other under the bus. It was a lovely thing to behold, and it made our bond stronger, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. Last question, really. Assuming the show goes on for a nice run, I feel like you guys have raised a nice bar for season one.
It's a blessing and a curse, isn't it?
It is, because I'm like, wow, what will they do in season two just to kind of elevate things even more? Are there any ideas already floating around?
There are, and you're absolutely right. How do we elevate it even more? Yeah, we're not going to just have a formula and stick with it. We have to surprise the audience and have them continue to want to come back.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it's been really fun to watch so far. I can't wait to see the rest of the seasons, Tim. Thanks so much for chatting with me about it.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you very much, and continue to enjoy it.
Thanks for the great chat, Tim, and I cannot wait to see the rest of the season of Making the Cut, which you can go watch right now on Amazon Prime with new episodes dropping every Friday. And that's a wrap for this episode of the TV Insider Podcast. But I wanted to say, if you're looking for more from this podcast or more things to fill up your time about television, we're closing in on our 50th episode soon and have a lot of great interviews and roundtable chats in our library, including one we did last week on shows we're finding comfort in these days with staff members from TV Guide magazine. So feel free to check them out now. They should be there in your library, wherever you get your podcasts. So big thanks to our producer, Lori Perna, and editor, Sammy Junio. And please make sure to subscribe to the podcast and follow us at TV Insider on Twitter and Instagram for more great TV coverage. And feel free to rate us on iTunes if you'll be so kind. Everyone, please keep staying safe out there. And until next time, I'm Jim Halterman. Goodbye.